Volume 1, Chapter 41, New Netherland Persecutes the Quakers. As Swedish and Finnish Lutherans were incorporated into the domain of New Netherland, the problem of theocracy and religious persecution became acute. We have indicated that New Netherland was largely governed by that wing of Dutch opinion that advocated Calvinist theocracy as over against the libertarian approach of their republican rivals. The Dutch West India Company in general, and Peter Stuyvesant in particular, hated the idea of religious toleration and desired theocracy under the Dutch Reformed Church as directed by the Synod or classes of Amsterdam. In 1654, Stuyvesant forbade any Lutheran minister from holding services, and the company decreed that only Dutch Reformed services were permissible in the colony. In 1656, all other religious meetings were prohibited under heavy fine, and no baptism was permitted except that of the Dutch Reformed Church. Indeed, Stuyvesant went so far as to imprison several persons for attending private Lutheran meetings. But for this, he was censured by the States General. And in 1657, even a commission from Amsterdam to serve as a Lutheran pastor did not save the newly arrived Reverend Ernestus Goatwater from being shipped back to Holland by the authorities. Leading the campaign of persecution was the influential Dutch Calvinist minister, the Reverend Mr. Megapolensis. It was at this time that the great wave of Quaker persecutions began in New England, and Peter Stuyvesant was not to be caught lagging. New Netherland, indeed, was distinguished even among the colonies for its extensive use of torture, particularly the rack, to extract confessions and to whip and mutilate runaway servants and slaves. Now in 1656, Stuyvesant decreed that Quakers could be tied to a cart's tail and assigned hard labor for 2 years. The first Quakers in New Netherland arrived from England in 1657. Two women, Mary Weatherhead and Dorothy Waugh, were thrown into a dungeon as soon as they began to preach, and after a week were sent tied up to Rhode Island, that sewer of heretics. Robert Hodgson, another English Quaker, found many receptive hearts in Long Island and prepared to preach at Hempstead. There he was seized by local magistrate Richard Gildersleeve and imprisoned in the latter's house. But Hodgson was able to preach even under house arrest. Governor Stuyvesant now sent an armed guard to Hempstead, bound Hodgson closely, and arrested two women for the crime of giving space to the Quaker. The three were taken by cart, Hodgson dragged at the tail, to New Amsterdam. Prevented from speaking in his own defense, Robert Hodgson, for the crime of being a Quaker, was fined 600 guilders and sentenced to 2 years at hard labor. But Hodgson courageously refused to cooperate in this unjust sentence. He refused to work or pay, whereupon he was chained to a wheelbarrow and beaten with a tarred rope. This treatment continued for 3 days, and Hodgson still refused to work or pay. For speaking out of turn, the Quaker was hung up and whipped at Stuyvesant's order. The director then told him that he would be beaten every day until he worked and paid the fine. Finally, Hodgson yielded and agreed to work in prison. However, pressures on the director led him to waive the fine, and eventually Hodgson was permitted to leave the colony for Rhode Island. A fine of £50 was now proclaimed for anyone found sheltering a Quaker for so much as one night, and the law against meetings was revived. The first enforcement was against Harry Townsend of Flushing Town on Long Island. He was thrown into prison when he refused to pay a heavy fine for attending a Quaker meeting. This spurred a complaint by the English settlers of Flushing. They protested that they were obliged to do good to all Christians, including Quakers, and that they would therefore continue to shelter them as God shall persuade our conscience. The receptivity of Flushing and other Western Long Island towns to religious freedom, and even to the Quaker Creed itself, deserves explanation. These towns were settled by New Englanders, but the settlers were not the Puritans who peopled the Connecticut and New Haven towns of eastern Long Island. The fountainhead of this different migration was Lady Deborah Moody. Born in England and persecuted by the Church of England, this widow had been invited by her friends, the Winthrops, to move to Massachusetts to gain her religious freedom. Settling at Lynn, Massachusetts, in 1640, but belonging to the Salem Church, Lady Moody and a few followers were harassed by Massachusetts for opposing infant baptism and adopting the Baptist creed. Hence, Lady Moody, like other heretics, left Massachusetts in 1643. She bought an estate at Gravesend, Long Island, where she was followed by many other families from Lynn. We have seen that Gravesend alone survived the Indian War against Willem Kieft. In the next decade, other Lynn Baptists, as well as Seekers, organized more settlements on West Long Island, Flushing, Jamaica, Hempstead, and Oyster Bay. By 1653, Peter Stuyvesant was complaining that the Long Island towns were selecting local magistrates without regard to their Calvinism, and that Gravesend, in particular, was electing Baptists and Freethinkers. The persecution of the Quakers now worked, as in New England, to multiply greatly the number of Quaker converts. Lady Moody and many of her followers from Lynn became Quakers at this time. To return to the Flushing protest, this was a remonstrance drawn up in a public meeting and signed by 31 men, headed by the town clerk, Edward Hart, and the sheriff, Tobias Veek. The remonstrance pointed not only to Christian conscience, but also to the fact that their town charter grants liberty of conscience without modification, and that they intended to stand by these rights. Many of the signers were originally from Lynn. Others were English pilgrims who had lived in Leiden, Holland. For this heroic act of defiance, Stuyvesant dismissed Veek and Hart from their official positions, harshly imprisoned the latter and heavily fined the former, and deprived Flushing of the right to hold town meetings. But this tyranny was in vain, as the illegal sheltering of Quakers and the conversion to their creed continued and intensified. Also in vain were the jailings of Quakers, of whom there were at one time 9 imprisoned in New Amsterdam. The Dutch Calvinist ministers, Megapolensis and Drosius, despairingly reported in 1658, "The raving Quakers continued to disturb the people of this province, although our government has issued orders against these fanatics. Nevertheless, they do not fail to pour forth their venom. There is but one place in New England where they are tolerated, and that is Rhode Island, which is the sewer of New England." The persecution of the Quakers in New Netherland was finally ended by the case of John Brown. Brown, a Quaker convert in Flushing, had been fined £25 for holding a meeting and threatened with banishment for nonpayment. After 3 months in prison, Brown was deported to Amsterdam, the council deciding on banishment for the welfare of the community and to crush as far as it is possible that abominable sect who treat with contempt both the political magistrates and the ministers of God's holy word and endeavor to undermine the police and religion. But Brown put his case before the Dutch West India Company in Amsterdam. Shocked at the excesses, the company directed Stuyvesant that the consciences of men ought to remain free and unshackled. "Let everyone remain free, so long as he is modest, moderate, and his political conduct irreproachable." Brown returned to Flushing a free man in 1663, and the Quakers were not persecuted again. As in New England, the Quakers had, by the early 1660s, triumphed over persecution.